Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and once again, thanks for tuning in to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad that you could be with us this morning. Last week, I had a very special friend and ministry partner who joined me here in the studio, Pastor Brandon Holthouse, senior pastor of Rock Harbor Church here in Bakersfield, and we had a thorough conversation about the subject matter of homosexuality, but really, we ran out of time, so Pastor Brandon is back once again with me this morning, and I'm glad that you are, so we can continue this conversation.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Let's begin by my asking you, homosexuality, even though while being widely discussed abroad, everywhere, if you will, today it seems that still many men and women are finding the subject matter just a topic they'd really rather not discuss.
Right.
But we know the importance of really discussing the matter, first and foremost from Scripture and from life as well. Why do you suppose, what's your take on this, Pastor Brandon, in terms of why still so many men and women would just rather, in many circles, just avoid this subject altogether?
Yeah, I think several reasons. The first reason is, like we talked about last week, was it is a socially unacceptable sin. I know that's a weird way of saying things, but there are sins that some people can do, and it's still socially acceptable. They won't be ostracized. If someone, for instance, is stuck in pornography, people can kind of tolerate that. But when you get into sexual practices of homosexuality, lesbianism, that's another ball game that they're not really aware of. And so a lot of times they just don't want to go there because they don't know how to handle it. They don't have any experience with it. So that's one. The other thing is, like we talked about last week, is that mainstream liberal churches have now almost accepted it into Christendom. And I've heard the term, well, as long as there's love there and as long as they're monogamous, then it's okay. And I've heard the reinterpretation, well, you fire back and say, well, wait a second. What do you do with the passages in the New Testament and the Old Testament? Because there's only seven of them, and all of the seven passages, Old and New Testament, militate against it. And they'll say, "Well, that was when Paul was talking to the Corinth believers. Homosexuality was wrapped up in temple prostitution and in idolatry, and so they really start splicing hairs out and say, well, as long as they're not practicing idolatry and they're in a monogamous loving relationship, then it's okay. Well, that's crazy. That's not what Paul was trying to say at all.
Love does not validate behavior.
That's right,
whether real or perceived." Where I have great, great challenge in getting my head around, if you will, where the church has ultimately arrived on the subject matter, is that within the totality of Scripture, both the Old and New Testament, every time that homosexual practice is mentioned, it is always mentioned in the context of a behavior in which no man or woman is to practice.
Right.
God has not changed. Now, obviously, our world has.
Yeah.
But as followers of Christ Jesus, and let's pause here and really, really consider that when you and I, or anyone says, I am a Christian, let's consider the depth of that statement, and more significantly, the depth of that identity. Because when you and I say we're a Christian, we are saying we are followers of Jesus Christ, and we take the Bible in its entirety or not at all.
Right.
And once again, God in His Word has a lot to say about what is permissible in His sight in terms of sexual expression.
Yeah.
So once again, we have to come back to the truth, the authority of Scripture, and the Lordship of Christ. And it just seems to me that if Jesus is truly the Lord of the individual, then He will also be Lord of your sexuality.
True. That's very true. And this is the problem that we're having. And we talked about this last week, that churches, pastors, now who are turning a blind eye to this, basically are being pulled by the culture rather than the authority of Scripture. And now it's become culturally acceptable. And so the church, or the apostate church, liberal church, is following that culture. So now it's acceptable in mainstream. It's on every TV, every movie. Disney's coming out now with a gay cartoon. Even Beauty and the Beast is supposed to have a gay character in it.
Yes.
So now it's socially acceptable. So those churches that are on the line of crossing over into apostasy or liberalism, they're just following this. So this is, they're saying, what's the problem? And so I think what you're seeing is they're not taking God's word seriously or authoritatively, or they're reading into the text, we call it eisegesis, stuff that's not there.
Right, right.
You know, and so we have that problem. The other problem, I think, too, along with this, the third issue that I would point out, is you have churches that see, okay, this is a problem, but they don't know how to disciple them. And so a lot of times they punt them. Punt the topic off. I don't want to deal with it because I'm ill-equipped to handle this.
Yes.
And like we talked about last week, it's a discipleship issue. It's not some special category of sin that you have to have certain expertise. And then the big mistake is this. A lot of people make the mistake of, well, I've never experienced that, so I don't know how to counsel that. Well, I haven't experienced about 95% of the things I counsel. I've never experienced being addicted to alcohol. That doesn't mean I can't use the principles of Scripture to apply that to that particular sin.
That is so important.
You know, so people say, well, you don't have any credibility because you never lived that lifestyle. Well, I have other proclivities towards other things, too. I know what the struggle is in other areas. And so I think what starts happening, Philip, even in the best of churches and situations, they punt it. And unfortunately, that's not how the body of Christ is supposed to work.
In your use of the word, they punt it.
Yeah.
I was thinking that today there are pro-gay theologians, there are pro-gay apologists that have taken the Scriptures in both Testaments regarding homosexuality, and they've revised them.
Right.
They have twisted them to validate or attempt to validate homosexual practice. But once again, the undeniable truth throughout God's Word, and let's just really bring it right to where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
If you're a faithful follower of Christ Jesus, in terms of sexual expression, God's word cannot be clear.
Right.
Faithful followers, you have two appointed options. One is a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another, doing their utmost to live within God's well-defined holy boundary lines.
Right.
Option two really revolves around a question. The question being, are you single? If the answer is yes, you are not to be sexually active. Period.
Period.
Now, go around the world and preach that little number.
Oh, I know. Well, think about this. What just happened last week, the Pope came out and says, you know, we're going to welcome cohabitating couples that don't want to get married. So now we have the sin of fornication being put as an acceptable lifestyle. So it's not just homosexuality. It's all these other sexual practices outside the boundaries of marriage between a man and a woman.
Yes.
So what do you do when you have a pope that comes out and says something like that? That's very troubling to hear. But it's not just him. It's these other churches. And so guess what happens? That controls the narrative. So you and I, anyone trying to help people get out of this habitual lifestyle or whatnot or struggle, we look like the bad guys through all of this.
I have actually, on more than one occasion, I have sat across from some individuals, and we're talking about the realities of sexual and relational brokenness, male, female, adult, teenager, homosexual, heterosexual, and have some individuals look at me and say, now, Pastor Lee, if it's heterosexual sexual brokenness, that's just more normal. And, you know, I have to pause, collect myself for a moment and say, I will go with you to a degree that it's more normal because it's on the heterosexual side. But if you're talking about sex before marriage, habitual adultery, addiction to pornography, etc., while it may be on some level more normal in God's eyes, it is not more acceptable.
Right.
And I really think today we still have far too many individuals that are putting homosexuality at the top of the disorder list.
Right.
And that is not according to the Word of God.
Right. And when you do that, when you put it in that special category, then it makes people feel that it's got to be handled differently than any other sin. But I'll just reverse the whole thing. How about people who are married who practice celibacy in marriage and are not having sex? That's just as bad. So when I hear a counselee says, we haven't had sex in a year, we haven't had sex in 6 months, and they're married, then I have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and say, you guys are in violation of this. If you're not in agreement that you're going to set aside a time to not have sex, but one spouse is turning off the whole sexual thing, then that's just as bad. Because that's not supposed to be happening. Paul said that you set each other up for immorality. So that's I give that as an example of saying sexual misconduct can even happen even in the bounds of marriage, whether it's adultery or sexual celibacy, which shouldn't happen unless it's agreed upon. And so making these special categories causes people to say, well, I don't know how to fix that, you know. But the problem is, and I understand there are degrees of punishment for different sins. There's more consequences for certain sins. Obviously, we all understand this. If you tell a white lie versus murdering somebody, the consequences are far greater. There's no doubt about it. You'll go to prison. You could get the electric chair for murdering somebody. But we handle lying the same way we handle sexual practices. It's yes. Discipleship. And that's, I think, the problem even Christian counselors are doing, because someone comes to them and says, I have same-sex attraction, or I'm caught in the lifestyle and I can't get out of this. And they immediately punt it and say, let's go look for an expert in this area to ship you off to. Well, that's not helping them, because they don't know the expert. They don't know who to punt them off to. So the person is left without any resources.
Exactly. I can relate to that on a very, very personal level. Some 30 years ago, when I entered church for the first time in my life, and once again, thank God for a senior pastor and an associate pastor that really had no personal knowledge of ministering to someone coming from my particular form of brokenness. Mm-hmm. But once again, these two wonderful godly men, they were larger-than-life role models.
Yeah.
Their example spoke volumes to me. We do not have to have a PhD in overcoming homosexuality to help someone. None of us can live without hope.
That's right.
None of us. And because Jesus is very much alive, our hope is always in him. Now, again, we may not have all the answers to this whole subject matter, but we can go with that struggling person to the one who does.
That's right. That's right. And that's huge. And a lot of people are not getting that. And so to have these special individuals that say, I'm willing to work with you, I'll help you, I'll struggle with you, is carrying each other's burdens, which we're called to do. Even if they may not have all the answers, if someone's willing to partner with you and come alongside of you, that's sometimes called ministry of presence. That, hey, I'm just with you, man. I'll help you as much as I can. I'll be an accountability partner with you or whatnot. You know, to go back to some of these problems that we're seeing in the counseling world, in the biblical world, in the church world, the other aspect that I'm watching is that I use the word punt. There are certain theological constructs that certain counselors have that when someone approaches them with this issue, they just don't punt it off to another person. They punt it off to saying, well, you're just not saved. And I've heard a number of counselors say that to people who are struggling with same-sex attraction or in this lifestyle and they're trying to get out of it. and say, well, if you were really saved, you wouldn't have these desires because you're a new creation in Christ, and all things are passed away, all things are new. You shouldn't have any more desires. And the fact that you're exhibiting desires, well, I'm just going to give you the gospel because you need to get saved. That also is a punt due to that person's theology, and that theology started creeping up in the 1980s. The same time the churches start dealing with the issue of homosexuality, this theology, which is a radical hybrid of lordship salvation, started permeating not only through the churches but the counseling.
Right.
And that is another theological punt that a lot of guys are making. Not everybody, but some.
And wouldn't you agree, because we are sexual beings,
mm-hmm.
that's how God created each and every one of us. Our sexuality, really, from God, is a wonderful gift, providing sexual expression stays within God's well-defined holy boundary lines.
Yeah.
A moment ago, you made reference to heterosexual men and women and the various forms of sexual brokenness that they struggle with. Mm-hmm. What would you say to heterosexual men and women that may have an issue of pornography?
Yeah.
Or they're having sex before marriage. Is there any difference in ministering to them than to someone struggling with same-sex attraction?
I say no, because God's principles are the same.
Exactly.
And I think what you start finding out is there's roots to everything. The issue is you have to get back to the roots. And I'll give you an example. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 is talking about the discipline that God gives us sometimes in the trials of life. And he'll talk about, in chapter 12, a root of bitterness developing when we do not access God's grace and mercy. And we go to Hebrews chapter 4, and he says a believer can go boldly before the throne of grace and ask for grace and mercy and for help for problems. What you find out, Philip, and you've probably found this in your own counseling, is when you start retracing the steps with these people, whether it's heterosexual brokenness, some type of molestation, rape, they've gotten themselves in some type of pornography addiction or whatnot. Anytime in this area, what you find is that the person has a root of bitterness, and it's driving or fueling this issue. And then you find out that they were broken early on with something, whether it's rejection, whether it was somebody did something to them, and they did it at a time in their life where they did not have the tools available to them to process this with grace and mercy.
Yes. Yes.
And so when you misprocess things or handle things in an unbiblical way, it will come out in other forms of addictions, compulsive behaviors, and you won't know what's driving you. So what I find out is it's a common root to all of this. And the person has to get to that root to get it out of them.
At some point, when I am conversing with either a man or a woman mm-hmm. struggling with same-sex attraction, they want to know, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are many, many various contributing factors
right.
to the brokenness of same-sex attraction. You do have to consider family dynamics.
You do.
You have to consider the possibility of abuse, mental, emotional, or sexual.
Right.
You have to consider the temperament and the interests of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many different factors. Peer pressure also. So same-sex attraction is very much multi-causal.
Right.
I think a lot of people today, they're wanting just a single digit, if you will.
Right.
This is why I struggle with this. And I relate that very specifically when I'm ministering with parents,
mm-hmm.
with gay-identified children, because
right.
parents often turn inward and they blame themselves, which gives me the opportunity to say to mom and dad, please do not blame yourself, because
right.
first and foremost, no one wins in the blame game. And because there are too many various factors to the brokenness of same-sex attraction, for parents to single themselves out as
yeah.
they were the cause is to be very, very, very misguided.
It is. It is. Because, like I said, it comes down to the person not appropriating God's grace and mercy. So that's the overarching principle. But you're right. The contributing factors are a myriad. But again, it comes back to, did the person access God's grace and mercy? So what our job is to do is show them how to tap into that grace and mercy, how to plug into that, how to use that to get you free.
Yes.
That's our job. And
really, really, what I really appreciate I'm hearing you say is that while we may not have all the answers, you know what? Pastor Brandon, really, many women today struggling with same-sex attraction, they are looking for someone who genuinely cares about them.
Right.
Not a Christian who's trying to win the argument.
Right.
And heaven knows we need more Christians on this given subject matter that know more than just to say, it's wrong.
Yeah.
That's why at His Way Out Ministries, we have been and we continue to be so dedicated to equipping and educating the body of Christ around the world so that Christians, the Christian community, can be more effective in reaching to and reasoning with someone on this subject matter that is critically, critically important.
I agree, and I think you're hitting the nail on the head on some of this issue about not addressing it, because a lot of people can't see past the sin.
Yes.
So the sin's there, and that becomes a barrier to them, and they can't see the person behind the sin that's struggling with something and not realizing the sin is just simply a branch that's stuck to this root. And so they're looking for someone to come alongside them and say, will you connect to me and help me?
Yes.
And see past what I'm doing, because a lot of people can't get past the sin. For them, it's not in their ball game, and exactly. That's why people don't get the help they need.
And with Jesus as our perfect role model, every time, what did Jesus do? He looked past the sin of the individual and saw the person.
Right.
Today also at His Way Out Ministries, we give a lot of our time to ministering with young people, young men, young ladies. And when I sit across from these very frustrated young men and women, the point that they often raise, if not the point always, is, Pastor Lee, there are so many mixed messages being generated on this subject. Where do I find truth? The only truth I know for sure on this subject matter is within God's Word.
That's it.
Agreed?
I agree. That's the answer right there.
God has a lot to say in His Word on this subject matter, and it just seems to me if God can talk about sex, we can talk about sex also. Now, I'll give a bit of a disclaimer here. We can talk about sex or we can talk about sex. We understand the difference.
Sure.
But I really believe we have shot ourselves in the foot, if you will, to a large degree. It's because we have not wanted to venture into these very critical areas where an abundance of Christian men and women are struggling.
Right. I can tell you this, just from a counseling standpoint, it's the number one issue, not homosexuality or lesbianism, but sexual issues are the number one issues, whether it's heterosexual, married couples, single. It seems that all roads seem to end up there, and I think Satan was a tactician in this. He attacked the very thing that we can create by.
Yes.
It's part of the creation order for us to reproduce ourselves. And what did he attack? He attacked the sexual practices of human beings to pervert them.
Right.
So I find this for some reason, all roads end up here. So when a couple's having marriage problems, I know they're probably not having sex. And then that sets them up for immorality, pornography, affairs, whatnot. So it's an issue that no one wants to talk about, but underline it, it's the number one issue.
Absolutely.
That people are dealing with.
And I'm sure you would agree with me on this subject matter, because it's so, so critically important today. When we're trying to reason with or connect with someone on this subject matter, as Christians, we have got to be able to show them in God's Word, this is not just our personal opinion. This is just not how we feel about this. This is per God's Word. And I think the classic passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11.
Right.
And the Apostle Paul shares very, very clearly. He offers a list, a catalog of various behaviors if a man or a woman habitually practices is standing in a very, very dangerous place. As a matter of fact, he says, do you not know the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? And when you read that passage, as I did many, many years ago, you may find yourself in that list of various behaviors.
Right.
Maybe more than once.
Right.
But if you keep reading, again, verse 11 says, and this is what some of you were. Thousands of years ago, before the Bible was in print, we had men and women, even thousands of years ago, struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
They got out. Well, how did they get out then? They didn't have ex-gay ministries.
Right.
They didn't have professional Christian counselors.
Right.
How did they get out then? The same way they're getting out today. And if you keep reading, the passage is very clear. Through a genuine, deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. This is, at the end of the day, about relationship with Jesus.
It really is, because he says the truth will set you free. If we really believe that, then what's in that Bible will set people free. And I think the problem we're having today is there's a core remnant that still believe that, but the masses of church people, apostasy, liberalism, don't believe that anymore. So really, it comes back to what you and I have talked about at lunches and stuff like that. It comes back to people's acceptance of the authority of Scripture.
Yes.
And now what's happening is the satanic lie, did God really say this, is really what's at question.
I think another pivotal question is, and it's very, very appropriate to what we're discussing this morning, do you know Jesus as Savior?
Amen.
Or That's do you right. know him as Lord? And if you know him as Lord, even though there may be great times of struggle, if you know him as Lord, you will keep seeking him. You will keep going in the right direction, onward to him. Might there be times of, again, intensity? Possibly, God forbid, even a fall? Quite possibly. But yeah. I really define, a failure is not a man or woman who has a fall. A failure is a man or woman that, after the fall, does not pick themselves back
right.
up and keep walking in the right direction towards Jesus. Do you agree?
I agree. And so it comes down to our desire and motivation, and that's really at the heart of it. Because, yeah, we're going to fall. But if the motivation is to get back up, let's get on the path and let's get more discipled and grow, then that's the attitude we're looking for. And honestly, that's what I see in counseling. The people have the right attitude and the right motivations. They're not flippant about it. So I would agree with you on that.
Well, once again, I'm so grateful for your being here, and certainly for the wonderful, wonderful support of Rock Harbor
sure.
Church. We greatly appreciate
Our
you
pleasure.
And your congregation. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope that you will tune in again next time, same station. We always immediately follow Focus on the Family. Know this, that His Way Out Ministries continues not only here in America, but abroad as well. We are dedicated to raising awareness, educating, equipping the body of Christ to minister transformingly to men and women with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. At His Way Out Ministries, we continue to believe that God and His Word is very clear that with Him, all things are possible. That includes freedom from same-sex attraction. Until next time, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.